Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
I feel like we're on a bit of a journey this morning, confirmed by a number of people. Good morning, it's good to see you all. Why don't you open your Bibles with me to, if you have them with you or you have the app on your phone or whatever you have, if you don't have one and you would like a Bible, please come and talk to me afterwards. I'll give you one. Romans chapter 6. I feel like we're on a journey, and I walked up on the stage and I said, Adam, I'm not very good at singing, but we need to sing something about He's worthy. And I'm sure I maybe confused Adam or something like it, because I tried to sing it and it didn't come out very well. But that's okay. He knew what he was doing. And he navigated, you know, because I felt like we can declare these things and I'm a lion and I'm shouting and I'm roaring and all this kind of stuff. But we just haven't realized how worthy he is, and that he's a lamb slain for the sin of the whole world, for you and for me. I don't often wear a tie and dress in black like this, but I wanted to today. You know, and I was like, Lord, why did I want to do that? And I got my clothes. Usually I never get my clothes out the night before, but I got my clothes out the night before and I hung them. I thought that was a good steward of time. You know, even my pants were ready and everything, so I just had to slip everything on. Glad I changed them. I don't sleep in pants. Anyway, we'll cut that off the podcast. Commenting from the thing, I wear pajamas. Anyway, let's move on. You know, I was like, Lord, and I'm just standing there, and David comes up to me and he says, you're dressed in clothes that you would go to funeral. And I'm like, yeah. He said, today there's going to be a getting rid of the old man and a bringing in of the new man. And I felt like in my heart, my spirit leapt then. I didn't know why I was dressed like this. Please, if I dress like this again, it's not because I'm trying to be the old man, but maybe sometimes there are things that God does and they're symbolic to what he wants to do in our lives. So Romans chapter 6. Let me just sort this out. I just feel like God's doing so much right now. Just pray. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Newness of life is available for you today, people. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified in order that our body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We just sung it. For one who has died has been set free. Are you free this morning from sin? Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God, so that you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. You've got to consider yourselves this morning. I'm dead to that, and I'm alive to this now. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments, but unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been bought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but you are under grace. Where are you sitting this morning? What are you sitting under? Verse 15, I can't see probably. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. God help us in our obedience. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of our natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin, and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Father, bless your word this morning. Bless the reading of your word this morning, Father. Bless your word, never mind what's going to be preached, but bless your word to go deep into our hearts that we realize we are no longer slaves to sin, but we have an option and a choice to live in freedom, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. This morning, I pray you've read your Bible this week. I pray you've got something from it. Are you ready to just unpack Romans chapter 6? The gospel of received righteousness. You received it. You didn't earn it. You didn't get it because you worked hard. You didn't get it because you wore a suit this morning. You received it because Jesus died on a cross and he loves you that much. He laid down his life and he said, here is the free gift. And Paul says, he asks the question. He says, so what are we going to do with this free gift? Are we going to mess around with it? Are we going to abuse it? Are we going to misuse it? What shall we say, it says in verse 1. Are we to continue in sin? If you're in Christ, you have an option not to sin anymore. You have an option not to continue in the ways that you know are crippling your walk. We know. Nobody has to walk up to me and tell me that what you are doing is wrong. I know inside of me. I know there are practices and behaviors and attitudes and risings up in me that come through that I know. There are other things I don't know, and people come and they address it in me. Once I have knowledge of it, what am I going to do with it? But here's the knowledge of God this morning. You are a child of the King. You have come to the cross. You have laid down your life. You have walked to the other side. It says you are seated in heavenly places. You have dominion. You have power. You have authority. You have people around you. You have circumstances God's put you in. You have places that he's placed you in. You have everything that you need to walk in the fullness and flourishment of what God has called you to do. Stop asking for more because he's blessed you with it. Those people in your life, he's blessed you with them. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm blessed to sit next to you this morning. Here's the question. Does the gospel lead me to changing? Does the gospel lead me to changing the sinful patterns in my life? Does it do that? Because if it doesn't, I would suggest this. We don't understand it and we haven't walked in its power. If we are still dwelling in the places of the pit, in the pigsty, we have not understood the gospel and we have not understood the power of the gospel that Jesus says, I've given to you. I have placed it in you. Paul says this in verse 2, by no means, we can't continue in this muck if we know what's available to us. How can we who died to sin still live in it? It's like somebody blessing you with a mansion and you still choose to live in the shed down the bottom. We still choose to say, I want to stay there. It goes on in that verse, it says, we who died to sin. Let me just address this just for a moment. Here's the wrong or inadequate meaning of this. We think when we die to sin, it means something like this. It means we no longer want to sin. All hands up who still want to sin, even that they're a child of God. Some of you are like, no, I don't. I never want to sin. Really? It doesn't mean that. Sometimes we think it means that, but it means more. Sometimes we think it means we no longer ought to sin. I no longer ought to sin, and you beat yourself up about it. Paul boldly says, we died, not we ought to die. We need to look at what we've actually done when we receive Jesus, not what we ought to do. Sometimes we think when we die to sin, it means that we are slowly moving away. God, I'm not as bad as I was yesterday, so at least I'm improving. I'm 10% better. It's fine. No, that's not what it says either. It's a past action. I died. I'm not just stepping away and think, I'm making progress, full well knowing that I can actually leap out of that pit. We don't need progress sometimes. We need to get out of it. Died to sin also, sometimes we think it means we renounce the sin at some moment. Maybe when you got baptized. I disavow that sinful behavior. I'm never going to do it again. Do you know what? It's not something that we have done. It's something that's been done to us. We can't disavow that thing without walking in the power of what Jesus has placed in us. Sometimes we're trying to overcome things with our own works instead of, God, help me in this moment. God, give me strength in this moment. God, bring the right person in this moment. Sometimes we look at this when we say die to sin and we think it means we're no longer guilty of sin. That is absolutely true, but that is part of it. So all those five things are part of. But what does it actually mean when it says we died to this thing? In a nutshell, here's the thing. The moment you became a Christian, you are no longer under the reign and the ruling power of sin. Let me read that again, just so it drops in. The moment you became a Christian, you are no longer under the reign or the ruling power of sin. Romans 5:21, sin reigns, so also grace might reign. Which place are you wanting to sit this morning? Still, sin still has a power, but it can no longer force and dictate to you what you have to walk in your life. You are free from that thing that's been holding you. You are free from that addiction that's been robbing you. You are free from those mindset. You are free from those past things that you are bringing condemnation on only, and the only reason it comes at you, allowing it to have power over you when it has no power over you. If you're a believer in Jesus right now, then it no longer has power over you. Sometimes we want to be rebels and we want to do it. Let's be rebels against sin and press in towards what the gospel says about us. Do you want to rebel against anything? Say, Lord, I do not want to walk in that anymore. I'm going to walk in your ways now. I'm going to be rebellious to that old sin. I'm not going to go there anymore. Colossians 1:13 says this, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Acts 26:18 says, the gospel comes to people to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. If you don't know Jesus, you're under the power of the enemy, Satan. You may not like to hear that, but if you know Jesus, you're under the power of God. One brings death and one brings life. Let me give you an example in our world today, how this thing kind of plays out. It's as if this wicked military force has been dwelling in our land and had complete control of our country. Then the good guys turn up. And they march right to the capital. They smash a few of the enemies out. They push them back. They take back the capital. They take back the seat of the president. They take back the ruling thing. And they're seated now in that place. We are now ruling over this nation. What happens is the enemy begins guerrilla warfare. He heads out to the bushes far out there in some, and he starts to try and attack. The thing is, though, the bottom line is the authority of the government, the place of government, the place of rulership belongs to Jesus in your life. But the enemy is still playing guerrilla games out there somewhere. Be wise to the guerrilla games that are being played on the outskirts of your life sometimes through people, through circumstances, and that understand. Some of you will understand more than me because you've been involved in military warfare, how they try and come back and say, we're going to come back and take the city. No, you're not, because Jesus is on his throne in this place. The only way the enemy comes to back, come back is if you let him walk in that place. And God puts things in your life. He gives you this called the Bible. Make it an extension of your arm. Make it the first book you read. Make it the last book you read at night. Make it the book you read during the day. In fact, put all other books down and just read your word. He then puts people around you. He puts the Holy Spirit inside you. He's equipped you to keep out the guerrilla warfare. Do you know this Bible has an answer for every circumstance? Do you know that? Do you know whatever you're going through in your marriage, the answer's here in your Bible? Do you know whatever you're going through your kids, the answer's here in my Bible? Do you know that what you're going through at work, the answer is here in my Bible? It's in my Bible. We're facing times, ladies and gentlemen, where this is being challenged. Our government has challenged the authority in our lives of, are we going to live by their authority or the authority of God? It's not going to take long, many days from now, when one of us will probably be in prison for what we believe in Jesus. Maybe it might just take that to cause a nation to rise up, to cause a people to stand for something that they believe in. We may still decide to obey the sin, the enemy, but the truth is we don't have to. The truth is you've been set free. The truth is that Jesus has come and changed something. In verse 3, it refers to the word baptize. I'm going to go through this scripture, maybe not get through it all this morning. But that word baptized, when it says there, do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, is not referring to the water baptism. That represents what we're talking about now, but it's referring to a spiritual reality. Do you know you are a spirit being? I'm not sure we're convinced. Do you know you are a spirit being? This is flesh. This is not who I am. I'm a spirit being. Therefore, whatever the scripture's reading there, whatever is true of Christ is now legally true of you. Whatever is true of Christ is legally true of you. You can stand before the governments in the world and say, I am a child of God. Nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can take away the fact that you are seated in heavenly places. Nobody can take away the fact that you can talk to Jesus right now. Nobody can strip you of the fact that you can see his power and his presence work through you in any moment of any day at any time. We walk around as if everything's being stripped from us. No, everything's being given to us. Everything is available to us. And we let the circumstance overrule what has been given to us, when actually what should overrule is what's been placed inside us and who placed it there. We have everything. There's not a circumstance you're facing that you cannot walk into and declare the goodness of God and walk out of it the other way. There's nothing. Some of you are looking at me going, that's impossible. Well, you might not believe me, but please read this thing. Because this is the Word of God. It is the living Word of God. But it says we were baptized. So number one, if what is true of Christ is now legally true of me, since Christ died and dead people are free from sin. Do you know that? Do you know you, when you die, you won't have to worry what anybody says about you on Facebook. You won't. You won't have to worry whether you wear a suit or not wear a suit. You won't have to worry about the bills. You can't, the other side, go, oh man, I didn't even have life insurance. Sort that out, by the way, and a will. But you don't, it's gone. So if you are dead to sin, why are we letting this thing keep on coming and ruling over us when we died to it? It's gone. My old self is gone. Well, remember how you used to be, you're horrible, rotten. That's not me anymore. That was me. You don't have to play up for people or try and, oh, well, you know, I'm working. No, I was that and now I'm this. Since Christ died, the dead people are freed from the sin. Guess what? So are we. Since Jesus was raised from the dead, new life. Guess what? Those in union with him, so are we. The bottom line is this. If we believe in Jesus, our lives are changed. End of. Oh, yeah, but I don't see circumstance about it. Don't worry. It's changing. It has changed. It is changing. It will be saying, you are saved, you will be saved, and you are being saved. It's happening right before your eyes. Why do you not think it's happening? Because we're taking our eyes and we're giving way to guerrilla warfare instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus. Read your Bible. Open it up. It is the living word of God. It's going to do something. The fruit of union is this, certainty. The fruit of union is certainty. What does that mean? If you have union with an enemy and with death, guess what the certainty of that fruit is? Death. If you have union with Christ, guess what the certainty of that union is? Life. And life in its abundance. You are positioned for life and life in its abundance. And God wants to do that through you. He wants to bring it through. He does not want death to reign. He wants life to reign. This is my position. I'm no longer dead. I'm alive. It's like the two selfies. Some of you love taking selfies. The old self, guess where that is? Dead, crucified. The new self, guess where that is? Positioned in heavenly places with Jesus. It's got a picture of you right there, but it's actually you right there. The best possible picture you can ever do. You know, sometimes we can delete the self. Delete the old selfies of you and put up the one that is you reigning with Jesus. The old is crucified, the unregenerated man, our flesh, our mortal body, our old understanding, our old stance on things. Crucified. God, no longer. Why do you think when Jesus comes to live in your heart and you haven't even learned anything about the Bible or nothing really, you invite him in, he comes in, you then try, you think, oh, well, I usually did that. You go to do it and you think, I don't want to do that anymore. What do you think that is? It's the new man going, we don't do that anymore. Then you wrestle and go, I thought I liked it. I don't want to do that anymore. And then people come around you and help you walk through those things. And suddenly you're looking through different lenses. You're living with a different perspective. You're not living old anymore. You're living new. And people are going, what the heck happened to you? I met Jesus. That's what happened to me. You didn't go on behavior modification classes. You didn't go on 10 behaviors to a better thing. You met Jesus. The Bible says, believe and your life will be changed. The simpleness of reestablish your position today. Sin no longer controls my personality or my life. It doesn't. Do I sometimes have a snotty personality? Yes. Do I have to? No. Because I'm allowing the gorillas to come in. I'm allowing them to come in. Sin is still able to lead me to disobey God. It is. But not allowing that sinful behavior to go against my deepest understanding now, because now I have the heart of God being placed into me. Let me give you some practical examples. What about if something is not sinful? Do you know the heart is deceitful above all things? If I had to say to you, how close do you want to play to the line? We have this radical conversion with Jesus, and maybe, I don't know how yours was, but I think it's an encounter with him. You know he's done something in your life. And then what happens is we become familiar. And when we become familiar, we drift back to places of old enemy lines. We go play outside of the city of God and where the established thing, we go play in the bushes and play guerrilla warfare. And we think it's a game. And so we step closer back to places we know we shouldn't dwell. And here's the practical, just a couple of things. It's like this, and I've spoken to many people over most times, so if you suddenly think, oh my gosh, he's talking about me. No, I'm not really talking about you, but if it's for you, take it on board. It's like this, we come away from certain friendships, and then over a period of time, we think, oh, well, you know, I just kind of drift back to them again. And suddenly the stagnation of those relationships starts to stagnate here, and we pull back into things we should never be walking in. Do you know, first I will honor Jesus before I will actually turn my behavior to suit whatever you want me to do. Because I stand before God one day, not you. It's like this, We allow things to take place in our homes. We allow the kids to have technology in their bedroom for hours upon hours. Unrestricted, not thinking about it. Do you know where most incidents of, not, I see there's some kids in the room, I'll be careful. Some instances of things that kids shouldn't be doing or we shouldn't be getting into birth in our own homes in the bedroom. Come on, we've got to wise up a little bit. We go out on this Christmas, drinks with our colleagues. It's okay, it's just with our colleagues. Any of you ever asked if you could take your wife and your husband to drinks with the colleagues? Do you know where most premarital stuff starts to happen? Drinks with the colleagues at Christmas. Understand the statistics. I'm not saying everybody's going to go for a drink. Oh my gosh, we're all going to now. No. But just be wise where the enemy plays his games. Be wise that when we get around this Christmas time, don't be a stumbling block to somebody else in their walk. Sometimes it's better abstinence because you don't know what other people are walking through. Just be wise around those things. Be wise around our technology. These are the practical things. When actually the first thing we look at and the last thing we look at is something that somebody else said, not what Jesus said. You know, I was watching this series on TV. I quite like these series where there's a bit of fighting and stuff like that and whatever else. And I'm like, oh. And then I was like, why am I dreaming like this? And not, why am I so disturbed? The Lord's like, wake up, buddy. You're watching that before you go to bed. Oh, yeah. My last thoughts are about, oh, how can we get this plot done? And how can we, you know, besiege the enemy and all this kind of stuff and that. And then I'm running around being chased by the enemy in my dreams and waking up disturbed. I'm like, I don't want to be that. Be careful how friendly your phone becomes with you. Be careful how late you stay up and watch television at night. Be careful how you abstain from intimacy with your husband and your wife. Do you know that there are times to abstain because you want to pray, but also abstaining all the time is lack of self-control. Because you're saying, no, I'm not going to do that for X, Y, and Z. It works both ways. Be careful how we bury our heads in the sand and not addressing things. Be careful being alone as couples that are not married. This is what somebody wrote. We invite the reappearance of old habits by haunting the tombs from which we have risen, by playing with the apparatus of death, by visits to old haunts, by reading old books, by encouraging old imaginations that are fatally linked to the basement of the past. When I sin, when I mess up, this is what's happening. I'm not acting in my true identity. Why do I mess up? Because I've forgotten who I am. I've forgotten who I am. And you think, oh, Heath, I've only just become a Christian a couple of weeks ago. That's great. Do you know what? God hasn't wants you to figure out all of it at once. Just one thing at a time he deals with you on. But if you've been a believer for many years, we're walking back into some of these places because why? We've forgotten who we are. I've forgotten what Christ has done for me. I've forgotten to forgive, to reconcile, to not hold judgment. I've forgotten that no, I don't withdraw, I press in. I've forgotten that I honor, and then I begin to dishonor. I've forgotten that I actually can journey towards understanding and reconciliation with people instead of blanking people. I've forgotten. This union with Jesus is often understated. Do you know you can't grow in something unless you're connected to it? When the Bible says you can't, you will grow to reveal something based on what you're connected to. It's true. It is absolutely true. Think about it. But that word in verse 6 where it talks about united, do you know that word doesn't mean that what sometimes we think, and it certainly doesn't mean the football team. But what it actually means is we are planted together. Planted together. One plant with many branches. Ring true, any of you, for another scripture in the Bible? He's the vine, and I'm the branches. The root is Jesus. We're the branches, grafted in by believing. You didn't believe, you weren't part of that plant. You did believe, you died, you were buried with him, you were grafted in, you were raised up, you came out of this beautiful branch, there's beautiful fruit coming off you, there's a beautiful fragrance of you coming off you. Why? Because you're connected to the beauty. When the ugliness comes off me, do you know what? I've moved back to guerrilla warfare over there. I've moved back to playing in the bushes somewhere instead of standing in my established place. Do you know when you get buried sometimes? In the winter, in the tough times. God, I'm going to lay this down in the tough times. It's easy to go, oh, it's lovely time. When do we plant seeds to flourish? Rob will tell you more than me. In times, we don't plant them in the middle of summer. We plant them in the winter. We cut back things in the winter. We put our, what are those daffodil bulbs all around now getting ready? And then all of a sudden, this place is a beauty of those things because we planted them in the right season. I felt like this morning that as this word comes out, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just hang there for a second and suddenly die and went boom. There was a process of time, a number of hours that he was on that cross. And I felt the Lord say there are things that each of us who are wanting to nail to the cross, but what we are doing is we are not, it's not staying there long enough to be truly crucified. We are almost taking them back to reuse them or not staying there and saying, God, this thing is going to die in my life. You know, what happens is we come to the end of ourselves at times. We come and we're emotionally troubled. We're going through tough times. We want a fix for our lives. And so even in that, God brings people in our lives and we run towards them and we say, oh, do you know what? Well, won't you just help me with my marriage? Can you guys, I want to help you with my marriage. And they go to us and they say, do you know what? Come to us. We'll set some time aside or whatever. And we're like, oh, Thursday, no. A little busy. Can you do Wednesday maybe? How about Tuesday? No, it's Thursday. If this thing really needed to be crucified, I'd cancel everything else and I'd be there on Thursday. You see, we're not holding this thing and we're not crucifying some stuff. We're playing games with it. And Jesus hung on that cross, I think, to represent for a period of time, this thing is going to take some time. I'm going to help you nail that thing to the cross. I'm going to bring people alongside you that are going to hold you accountable and nail that thing to the cross. But this thing is dying because if it doesn't die now, it's going to come back. And it's going to keep on coming back. And I think there are things. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for me. Why don't you close your eyes? Father, if there are things in our lives that you need us to crucify, that you need us to lay down, that need to hang there, that need to stay there, God, help us to stop messing around with these things and to say this is going to die in my life so that you can live, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. James 5:16 says this. This will help the process of crucifixion. Therefore, confess our sins one to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's something beautiful in the coming together and saying, tough one. I'm struggling here. I have yet to meet anybody that I have revealed something that I'm going through intimately that is really to look at me and go, you useless Heath. Every time I've met them with a hope and say, come on, we can press through this. We can go to another level on this thing. Verse 10, I don't think I'm going to get through it all this morning, but that's okay. Verse 10, it says there, for the death he died to sin. And it goes on in verse 11, consider yourself. What's that song? Consider myself one of the family. Anyway, why do these stupid thoughts come in your head at times? Like, you know? That word consider is to count myself or to consider myself. This is my status. Consider this. Number one, you're dead to sin. Number two, you're alive to Christ. That's it. I'm not that. I am this. The truth is we are dead to sin, but we must utilize what is available. It's the classic thing. We heard the example so many times. It's like financially troubling and your parents left you a trust fund. And you think, no, I'm not going to touch that thing. Because it's not for the... And God's going, I've given you everything to pull you out of this place. Why? Why don't we utilize it? Because the enemy has convinced us that actually that thing is not powerful enough. The love of Jesus, the power of Christ, knowing Jesus is not powerful enough than my circumstance. Because if we were convinced, we would apply Jesus instead of not applying him. We would. I would. And what happens then is that we have fallen into the lust with the candy of the enemy. Let me rather give you this. Let me give you a substitute. I don't like a substitute to meat. You may like it. I like meat. I not want substitutes. I want the real thing. Bible says signs and wonders will follow those who believe. How many of you would like a bit of more signs and a bit more wonders to follow you believe? I would. I would. Who believe? No longer do I have to live in it because no longer it reigns over me. It's kind of saying like this. We don't have to breathe it anymore, so we don't. But sometimes we do this. Do you know what, Lord? Turn your eyes. I'm just going to take a swim in it. Let me just go and swim in the muck again. And God going, no. You know that song, It Is the Air I Breathe? I'm not going to sing that either. Your holy presence living in me. This is the air I breathe. Lord, let that be the air I breathe continually, not to go in some dip, in some stagnant pool that is going to bathe, that as I get out. You know when you get out of a bath and you've bathed in it and all your filth is in it? And then as you go up and there's this film across the bath and you go up and it just like covers you again. Have you ever done that before? That's why you must always take a shower. It's much better. But you got to get it off you. But it's like that stagnant water. I'm just going to take this bath, all the dirt, I'm going to, you know, and it's, and but we're still breathing the air of Jesus, but it's still just sitting around like this stagnation. We struggle with sin sometimes. We commit it sometimes. We see the plans of the enemy and we agree with them. We struggle habitually sometimes. Come on, let's be honest. But we can't go on abiding in that realm. Why? Because we're alive in God. We don't have to stick there anymore. We can now obey sin or obey God. That's the truth. We don't have to let it reign. We don't have to offer parts of our body to it to be instruments of it. We can say to it, you sit down and you stay there. It'll wage war in that. The key in this whole thing is, it's not about I'm not going to do that. It's actually about what we are going to do. It's like saying this, you know, I don't swear anymore. Or I don't gamble anymore, but I'm not generous either. You know, I don't do X, but I'm not doing this either. It's not about what you're not going to do, because sometimes we stop there. The power of Christ comes in and says, this is what you can do. I'm going to actually put myself in these positions and apply. We offer our bodies as instruments of righteousness. It goes on in verse 14. It talks about knowing. I felt the Lord say this, Heath, when you fall back into old ways or you do things that you know you shouldn't do, it's because you fail to know and believe who you are again. I failed again. I'm like, no. And you know what? Then the grace of God hits you and says, come on, stand up. Let me remind you who you are. Let me remind you where you're standing. Let me remind you of where I've established you. Let me remind you you're my child. He doesn't leave you there kicking and screaming. I felt the Lord say this to me. Sinning comes not so much from a lack of willpower as from a lack of understanding your position, Heath, and a lack of reflection and rejoicing in that position. We think we got to muster the willpower. This is my willpower, and I'm pretty strong-charactered for the things I want to be strong in. For the things I don't, I couldn't give a monkey's. It's not about your willpower, it's about His power in you. This is the reality. I'm bought with the Christ's blood. I've been delivered out of the dominion of sin. I was saved by Christ, especially to not go back into that muck again. If we grab hold of these, the gospel, what would the fruit of our lives be like? I'm speaking to myself here. I'm no longer a slave to this sin anymore. When we decided to be a slave, we decided to be a slave to Jesus. And Phil preached an amazing message on being a bondservant. Go back and listen to it. Sin brings death, condemnation, brokenness, separation. If you don't walk in the things of God, we become those slaves to selfishness and lust and bitterness. I'm skipping down to verse 23. I'm going to bring this to a close in 3 or 4 minutes. It says, therefore, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. The specific enslaving sin depends on whatever particular bottom line we've offered ourselves instead of bringing God into the situation. Let me explain. If you're a person who's enslaved to approval, we'll constantly experience self-pity, envy, hurt feelings, and inadequacy. I've been a slave to approval. if you're enslaved to success, this is every one of these is me. You will experience drivenness, fatigue, worry, and fear, and so the list goes on. If I'm enslaved to independence, and oh, I've been there too, and at times want to revisit that place, I will experience anger, mistrust, my imagination will run away with me, I will want to be isolated, I will have negativity towards people. I'll resist true accountability. Anything you worship besides God promises much, but delivers worse than nothing. The only benefit idolatry that is placing things above God is what? Brokenness. Anything placed above God is brokenness. Anything. Whatever is above, it's going to end in brokenness. I don't want to be broken. I want to be healed. I want to be whole. I want to be set free. But I love the last part of this chapter. And oh, we have not done this chapter justice. Go home and dig it out some more. It says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that. But that's a but we like to see there. We have a new master. His free gift, eternal life. When does that opportunity start to walk in that? Now. Right now. Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does that kingdom come and that will be done? Through you and me who stand in our established place and say, this is who I am. I'm not the old man anymore. I'm a new man. Those are no longer my old, those are old ways. These are my new ways. And I'll finish with this. James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Guess what? You're going to have trial. Do you know what happens when there's a tree, like described in Psalm chapter 1, planted by the rivers, that the water keeps flowing? It says it bears fruit in seasons, all seasons. Do you know that you can bear fruit in the darkest season of your life? Why? Because the sap in you is the sap of God's grace. And it goes through your veins. And so when there's ridicule, what can you bring? Kind word. That's fruit. When there's somebody who is hurt, what can you bring? Love and kindness. When the enemy is pressing you down, what can you bring? Joy. When circumstances are coming against you, what can you do? We can be wise and pull people together and say, let's pray. You see, there's always an opportunity to bring the fruit of God in whatever situation we are absolutely dwelling in. But blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. I really believe this, and I know this in my own life, and this is not arrogance. There are things I'm still trying to conquer. There are still, because the Bible says I can be more than a conqueror. There are things that I'm journeying towards, my attitude, my quick mouth sometimes, my thought life. But I know there are things in my life. When I prayed, I said, Lord, I want to commit my way to you. God, the Bible says that you can have a crown of life in that area. Do you know what a crown sits? High up. And it looks down on these circumstances. There are habitual things going on in our lives, and God wants to give you a crown of life so they no longer rob you of what he truly has called you to be. And there's a push through it, and there's a struggle through it, and there's a pressing through it, and there's, come on, can we get there? Keep it on the cross. It's going to be crucified. Because on the other side of that, there's life. Get people around you. Pray for it. Open your Bible. Read it. Spend time in the Word. Get around. And did you know what? God wants to drop crowns of life. Why? Because if you carry a crown of life, you can stand with somebody else and well say, I was there, but now I'm here. Come on, let's walk this journey together. Let's disciple you into a place where you're going to receive a crown of life. Do you know why we've got to break through? Because we are called, commanded to be disciples. I'm not saying perfect, but we've got to bring people into the places that we've walked in. And if we haven't walked in there, we can't bring anybody into that place. So let's stand in the place who we truly are. May I ask you to stand with me? I feel like this is a cross moment. We've come, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And I feel like there's people who've got to lay something down this morning. Say, God, If I mess around here, this is ending in brokenness, absolute brokenness. If you're a man in this house, because you carry authority, because you also carry, and ladies, you carry authority, but I'm just talking to the guys here in terms of what God sees in you. You carry authority, you bring identity to things, you do. Sometimes there's even a greater effect, especially those of you in families. If you decide to continue down, it's ending in brokenness. But this morning God says, but the free gift of life, the free gift is eternal life. And His grace comes and says, I want you to lay it down. Because you lay it down. Your job is to lay it down. Jesus' job is to resurrect. What is it you got to lay down this morning? What is it that you've got to stand in your place? That's the old man. This is the new man. What is it that you got to take the grave clothes off and actually walk out in the clothing that God has given you, in robes of righteousness? Only you know. Speak to God right now. Ask Him. Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your word this morning. That we are no longer slaves to that, but we're children of God. We're no longer the old man, we're the new man. We no longer have to dwell in the pit and in the pool of stagnation. We can walk into the place and breathe the air. Be the air that we breathe, Jesus. Maybe you're here today with every head bowed and eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. And He says, I want you to walk in this place. I want you to come into relationship with Me. I love you so much. I laid my life down for you. I died on a cross for you. You no longer have to be that person. I've got new for you. It's a decision. It's your decision. Many of you have made that decision. If you've made it in the last few weeks, you don't have to make it again. That's you and God. You've done it. But maybe there's one person here today and you think, I need to make that decision. I'm just going to count to three. Won't you raise your hand and just say, Heath, won't you pray for me? That's my decision. I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. One, two, three. Father, I thank You for Your word today. I thank You, God, that You don't just leave us crying in a playground. Leave us in the muck. You say, I have something better over here. Won't you exchange that for this? God, thank You for Your word today. Thank You that You love us. And Father, I pray right now, I believe You're doing a deep work in people's hearts. As there are things that we are subtly allowing to go on, playing in those bushes, engaging the enemy in places we shouldn't engage him. God, I pray we come back to the place and we realize that You're on the throne, seated. We're seated with You in heavenly places. And this is my position. This is what I count myself. In Jesus' name.